Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Bank.
Off the air about, you know, when you become a boss, when you become in charge of things. And I think if Vance had to do it all over again, the first thing he would have done was completely clean house of all the assistant coaches. And that would have been a tough move because there were guys that had been there for a long time. And
it's not like they
were bad coaches.
Yeah, right. They were 9-7 with Trevor Siemian as a starter.
No, the problem
that's
with
a hard sell to a guy like John Elway and, you know, Joe Ellis. I mean, look, the head coach is having some health issues. It's certain that it's the reason that he's not coaching in the NFL right now because of health issues. We need a new head coach.
I would say, and I know this is going to be
a new this and a new that and a new this and a new that. We need a new head coach.
I think this is going to be a tough thing for fans to do. But you know, the Broncos are now saying 1-0. I don't know if you know that. That's their whole thing.
Right, 1-0.
Like I heard, I haven't seen it. I heard in the locker room on the video screens. I've heard about this. I've heard it talked about on here on this radio station that they're flashing 1-0 up on the screens. Okay? So the message is the second game's against the Steelers. Well, I would challenge you to be really fair and to put a certain amount of your conclusions behind you and do that. What if we were looking at this Broncos team as if this last game was the first game and it really was 1-0? Now, I know that's hard to do because there's this past history and you can certainly go back and look at bad total records. But at some point, when you start a new job and do something you haven't done before, what is a fair amount of time to consider like what you should know and what you've learned? I would make the argument we're right about there. Right about a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Well, you know, in our business, I was told that you can't even start to get a real understanding about who somebody is or who they are as a broadcaster until 18 months.
Well, I would agree with that. If you first of all, you got to get through the clutter of all the other, if we're just talking about radio shows, for example, all the other clutter of media. You know, it's not easy to do. And listen, man, you can have an argument whether John Elway should have hired VJ or not. I mean, that's a fair thing to say. But it's not like VJ is going out there and embarrassing the organization like Josh McDaniels was. Don't forget this about Josh McDaniels. He started 6-0. Josh McDaniels, Al, the team got worse in the 2 years with Josh McDaniels. It didn't get better. It got worse. This team with VJ isn't getting worse. They are getting better. They got lucky to a certain degree to get that win against San Diego, but they kept themselves in it.
But we got unlucky the week before against the Houston Texans.
You can make that argument. And so, and by the way, not to look past this game, but this is by far the hardest game left on the Broncos' schedule against the Steelers. It's not even close. This is it. This is the hardest game left on their schedule. So I don't know if they're going to win or lose. There's a lot of reasons why they would lose to a really good team. But I'm not about to just sort of, you know, dump all over them if they happen to lose to a really good team. I'd like to see what they do with the rest of the schedule. So why would we sit around here and root for them to lose? I mean, that is idiotic. Even if they don't make the playoffs, especially in a quarterback week draft, there is no reason, Al, to dump games this year. Zero.
I just think winning is it's a routine. It's the way that you want to be every day of your life. Like, this is a winning, this is a winning meeting. This is a winning walkthrough. This is a winning one-on-one. This is a winning group. This is a winning side of the ball. This is a winning game plan. This is a win. Like, all of that stuff is translates into just winning all the time. Like, you know, Coach Shanahan was the best in the world at this part. Coach Shanahan used to always say, win your one-on-ones. He said, don't worry about nothing else. If you win your one-on-ones, we're going to win. Like, you got to think about that because it's a deep statement. Like, you have your one-on-one over here and you have one over there. It doesn't matter whose one it is. You just have to win yours. When you get your one-on-ones, you win them, and then we will win.
Here's Chris Harris on the matchup.
I mean, we've had a tough game every week. We haven't had no easy games, and we've faced the top offenses every week. So it's just another top offense that we got to see, another great challenge, and we're up for it. I mean, we've seen it all already. So, I mean, now it's just another challenge, another great offense, another great quarterback and receivers, and we got to be ready to play. We've had some success this year playing the top offenses.
He's right. He is right. Last year at this time, it was a nightmare. It was embarrassing. It was blowouts against Philadelphia, New England. And, I mean, it was ugly. Haven't had those moments, aside from the Chiefs.
And I don't believe that the coach, and I don't believe that some members of the team believe that Vance Joseph should have been there.
Yeah.
And I'll give you one of the earliest occasions where the players start questioning what's going on. When T.J. Ward was not retained.
All right.
Remember how fractured it made the defense?
Terrible.
Like, hey, man, why'd y'all cut T.J. Ward?
Right.
You know, there was rumors that Aqib Talib was on the trading block. I'm like, you know, this is not what you want. It's just, it was ugly. And I think that it was a bad start. It was a bad start. It was a bad start because that team had just won a Super Bowl the year before, and I was trying to explain, that it was done. Like, that's done. Like, that's over with. You're back to the NFL now. You know, you had a legendary defense for 1 year. Most legendary defenses can last 2 years, but to think that they can win a Super Bowl 2 years in a row? Not going to happen.
Joe on the RamosLaw.com text line, why entrust an enterprise worth $2 billion, I think it's really 2.6, with a guy who needs 2 years to figure it out? Horrible judgment. Well, Joe, that's not the case now.
It's done now.
It's done now. I mean, day one
the next
already.
Next time he shows up as a head coach, he's got all those lessons he's learned. Do you want him here? And once again, Joe, call us on the RamosLaw.com. Text line, you can text us at 303-713. That's 303-713-1043. And if you want to call and state why or what it is that you need to see from the head coach, that would be great for me because I'm looking for a winning game plan.
By the way, the only way it works if you replace Vance Joseph is whoever replaces him has to blow everybody else out.
Everybody.
You got to start all
Everybody.
Over again.
Everybody. And have a handshake agreement with John Elway.
Yeah.
That he will at least give him control of picking the quarterback.
Yeah. So that's what you're left with. That game beating San Diego was a big, big, big deal. Big deal. They lose, and we're 3-7. And you're facing the Steelers, maybe 3-8. It's a whole different conversation. It is incredible. And so the mindset that, hey, we're 1-0 now, let's win Sunday, it's the right mindset. There's better judgment going on. It's a positive thing. And by the way, and we'll get Cecil on next, I went back and looked at, because we were talking about that deep end, as what kind of throw it was. That first deep end to Emmanuel Sanders, do you know Case Keenum threw that between four defenders?
Defenders. Not for Emmanuel. I was talking about.
No, I'm talking Portland about the throw Sutton. To Emmanuel.
I'm not talking about.
I saw Brian Ball.
Emmanuel Sanders is always going to require double coverage.
Well, that pass made it in between four defenders. Brian Baldinger does a great job, by the way. If anybody follows Brian Baldinger, he breaks things down. It's awesome. I follow him on Twitter, the way he does it. And he went through that play and the Sutton play. On the Sutton play, the Chargers were playing a zone with three guys kind of across the field. Well, Sutton just got beyond him and then crossed into the middle, and the high safety just sort of misplayed it. That was a tough throw, too. Really tough throw. But if Case Keenum doesn't get protection, Al, he is dead meat on both of those throws. It was pretty special. Cecil Lammy will join us next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Cecil Lammy, fantasy football guru, out there at Famous Dave's. Arapahoe and Parker starting tonight at 7 o'clock. Cecil special, $10.43. Hi, Cecil. How are you?
I am doing excellent, my friend. How are you?
Happy Thanksgiving to you, by the way.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
You're in family. You got that new house.
I know, man. My first Thanksgiving, though, with my son away. He's in Dallas with his girlfriend and her family.
What?
It's my first Thanksgiving without my son, and I'm heartbroken.
Hey, Diesel, man. Listen up to me, brother.
It happens.
Listen, man. I was out, you know, I had an opportunity to go down to Houston for Thanksgiving, and my son said, well, Dad, you know, I have kids too, so I'm going to stay here with my kids. And guess what I did? So am I. I'm going to stay here with you because I know that you have a family. That's what the boys do, man. The boys get up and they go with the wives wherever the wives want to go or the girlfriends want to go for Thanksgiving. Get used to it, bro.
Yeah, it's the first one. It's hard to get used to, man. They grow up so fast.
I know, dude.
Job with Gunnison Police Department for the summer, so it's like he's already off on his career, and it's like, wow, out of the house and gone.
There you go. That's the way
it happens quickly.
Cecil, it's amazing what a win will do. What a different atmosphere around Dove Valley. In fact, you think of the holidays and what a grind it is. I don't get that sense at all, actually. I get a sense like, man, we got some new life here.
Well, renewed energy, that's for sure. And the stick-to-itiveness that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now, they haven't given up on their head coach. I know that a lot of Broncos fans out there don't want Vance Joseph as the head coach of the Broncos. I get that. But those players, on and off the record, they don't give up on that guy, and they're still playing together. Look at the way they had that kick before the win. The McManus went out for that kick against the Chargers, like arm in arm, everyone sitting there working together and having fun together. And that seems to be the atmosphere, knowing that this is the signature game. This could be that important win, not, you know, the Chargers. And I understand people have been looking for a signature win for Case Keenum. That was in the Chargers game, even though he played well and made some great passes there at the end. This could be the game against this quality franchise. And I put the Steelers right up there with the Chiefs. You know, in that upper echelon of the AFC, they're coming to your house. You have an opportunity to run the table. So why not? Nobody's saying that. It's not like Odell Beckham Jr., although I wish they would say run the table. But the opportunity's there with only a game behind Baltimore. I know they're playing the Raiders this week, so, you know, that game lead isn't going to shrink this week as they'll beat up on the Raiders. But still, the Broncos have a shot, and you can feel that they have a shot out there.
Last time the Broncos and the Steelers saw each other, there was this great stat about how Chris Harris has not given up touchdowns and, you know, this and that. And it was a terrific stat. I forget what it was at the time, but he played against AB, and AB had his way. Do you think that's the case this time, Chris Harris versus Antonio Brown?
I don't think it's going to be the 2015 regular season game, because remember in the playoffs, he was hurt.
That's right, because Vontaze Burfict knocked him out.
Vontaze Burfict, right. So no Le'Veon Bell, no Antonio Brown in the playoffs as the Steelers came and the Broncos beat him up. made their way to the Super Bowl. But in that game, it was 16 catches for 189 yards and two touchdowns. I'm not going to say that, but they've got a Juju now. They've got a Juju Smith-Schuster in that receiving group as well. So Brown's stat line, give him 100 yards, right? But in this bend but don't break defense, don't have any of the big plays. What was the Chargers' longest play of the day? It's like 28 yards, 29 yards, something like that.
They had a bunch of, I think they had six 20-yard plays.
Okay, yeah, and got those chunks. And certainly Rivers got his, right, 400-plus yards. So this is a bend but don't break defense now. And I think with the trail technique that we're seeing from this team, that should continue. So I'm not going to say 16 for 189 and two touchdowns. But give Brown his 100 yards, and, you know, hey, if that leads to Broncos win, bend but don't break, and don't give him any big, you know, 70-yard touchdown pass, anything like that, I think that could work in the Broncos' favor.
Got to ask you. I know you ride with the Steelers. You have been basically your whole life. I want to ask you, Tariq Hill or Antonio Brown?
Wow. Antonio Brown, because he's a better route runner. Like, Hill's faster and more of a freak. But Antonio Brown can slice him up. He can cut a rug, that's for sure.
Okay, all right.
All right, Cecil, we encourage people to go see you tonight at Famous Dave's and ask you why your son doesn't love you anymore.
Watch me cry on air.
Watch me. All right, Cecil, we'll talk to you. We'll see you at Famous Dave's tonight.
Happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Cecil Lammy.
My son's, which one would you take?
My right son's there? Not coming back for Thanksgiving either.
I know,
my older
man.
Son. He's in college.
You know what? When I was in college, I told my son that's didn't want to go to go see grandma in Houston. He said, I'll go see her in 2 weeks. I said, you know what, man? Stay, said, yeah, Dad, but you're here. My brothers are here. Why would we transfer and do our Thanksgiving down there? I'm like, well, okay, man.
Tyreek Hill, to answer your question, by the way.
Tyreek Hill, man.
He's a freak. He's freakier than Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's great. Tyreek Hill's in another world.
Right.
Watch the Steelers carefully. There is time. A lot of time, Antonio Brown seems to disappear. Hard to understand why. Tyreek Hill never disappears in the Chiefs offense.
Is
ever.
That he's just new and we know so much about
no,
him?
No, I think it's they
you
just
know, you know
they make it a bigger
Americans.
No, it's not.
We like the latest and greatest, the hottest new toy.
Al, they don't hand the ball off to Antonio Brown. They hand the ball off or do reverses or jet sweeps or whatever. They just make sure.
I mean, you don't remember the karate kick that that Antonio Brown registered on the punt return when he kicked the kicker down? I mean, the punter, he kicked him right in the face.
He doesn't take punts back now.
I know that's 10 Switzer.
Yeah. So Antonio Brown doesn't do that. So I would take Tyreek Hill.
It's not like he can't do it.
Well, he doesn't do it. So I would you didn't you ask me if I what would I take Tyreek Hill or Antonio Brown? Wasn't that question?
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill.
Well,
I think everybody.
Why are we arguing?
I really don't know. They're both great players. They're both really dangerous.
Receiving yards to lead the NFL right now. Number five, Brandon Cooks, 964.
Rams.
Adam Thielen, 1013.
What a year he's having.
Michael Thomas.
New Orleans.
1042.
Yeah. Crazy.
Number two, Tyreek Hill, 1106. Number one, Julio Jones with 1158.
So Antonio Brown's not even on that list. I didn't even know that. And I told you, sometimes in their offense, he disappears.
But
and that
I mean,
is true.
But I think...
The problem
one
is
guy
with the Steelers.
One
no.
more game than the other.
Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. I told you they could look like they're doing nothing, like nothing's happening. They don't look good. It's not their day, and everything could change in a snap of a finger.
Antonio Brown has 807 yards receiving. Emmanuel Sanders has 763.
That's a better question. Who would you take, Sanders or Antonio Brown?
13 and 17, respectively.
Think about who you take, and we can get to that after the break.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
I know this song. What's this?
Let It Breathe.
It's called Let It Breathe.
Just turn it up a little bit.
Cranberry sauce! that many points on us.
Yeah.
So I just feel like it was one of those games. You know, it was one of those games. It reminded me when the Rams played against the Vikings. You know, that was a shootout. That was a fun game to watch as well. So, you know, when two teams are firing on all cylinders, that can be. But at the same time, you got to be firing on all cylinders. You got to be able to, you know, take those big plays. And those teams, they're known for taking a big play. They got Tyreek and Jared Goff, and those guys got explosive offense. And so they're looking for the deep ball and running the football as well. So maybe that could be the future. I would love that. You know, I don't know how many more years I got, you know, but, man, I hope that would be fun to watch.
Woo! Alfred, who would it be? Would you take Antonio Brown or Emmanuel Sanders?
I'm going to take AB.
Woo, why?
I just think his route running is just unbelievable. He's so sudden. Both of those guys are fantastic players, but I just think that the edge goes to AB.
Has AB become a bigger distraction off the field than Emmanuel?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Emmanuel, you know, for all my beefs with Emmanuel, if we're 1-0, if we're just starting from the get-go, it's much different. Things have changed. Things have changed. I will tell you, the last bad look the Broncos really had was all that crap with the Halloween party. Okay? Well, I mean, you know, that's about 3 weeks ago or so. No, it's a month ago because they had that Halloween party really early. That was... If you look back on...
What Halloween party?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what Halloween party?
Right. It was a terrible, ridiculous distraction, and it gave the impression that you just had other things on your mind, guys.
What Halloween party?
Look what's happened in the past month since that moment, though. And you had to fire Chad Kelly. Can you imagine if they really kept Chad Kelly around after that? Do you know Chad Kelly's had another court date that nobody's even paid attention to at this point?
Why would we? He doesn't play with the Broncos anymore.
Right. But if he was still on the Broncos, we would be talking about his next court date.
True.
The lawsuit stuff's not done. In fact, I know a little bit something. And
what do you mean about the...
ownership stuff.
Oh.
But nobody's... Right, see? You haven't even been thinking about it.
No. Because they won last week.
That's right. It cures all. And there was a cool moment at the end of the game when Sanders and Cortland Sutton both kind of celebrated at the same time. And so did Case Keenum, by the way, when they spiked the ball and they knew they, you know, had a great chance to win the game with McManus. What a difference a win makes. And what a difference it makes when you're not dealing with other foolishness. It turns things quickly. Emmanuel Sanders is in a situation to just write his own script here for the next three or four years.
You know what? That's such a well-said statement because he can become a different guy.
No doubt.
And that different guy is somebody who is a mentor, along with being
right.
a number one receiver.
That's right.
And he can go to a different place in his career and have that 10-year, that elusive 10 years of production in one city that gives him a chance to be talked about with the likes of other great players who have paid the price of playing wide receiver in this league and have been glorified. You know, guys that play 10 years at wide receiver in one place.
If Sanders
that's a small list.
If Sanders wants the most money and the legendary status, without a doubt, the best place to get that is here. It's not even close. He's already got a ring, which is cool.
Right.
Right? What else can you get out of it? And maybe another ring, hopefully, if things go well. He did reminisce about his Steelers days a little bit.
Oh, man, Ben's still doing the same thing he was doing when I was there. He's still making plays with his legs and with his arm. You know, he loves to go no huddle every now and then, speed up the tempo and throw the ball all over the field. And
he talked about being a Steeler before. Oh, can I do this? Nah, I screwed it up.
The Steelers are still the Steelers, you know. They love to play smash mouth football, AFC North football. They're a physical team.
See if I can do it this way, yeah.
You know what? Kinda. Kind of. It feels weird because I've been out here for, you know, 6 years or 5 years. And, you know, to play them, it feel, I forget about my Pittsburgh days, you know, but everybody remind me of when I was number 88. I'm like, oh, snap, yeah. You know, it feels like I've been a Bronco, you know, my whole career. But I still remember the days there, Simba, the things that, you know, they told me and when I left. So I remember Mike Tomlin telling me, you know, obviously they didn't have the money to pay me, but he still wants to see me balling and scoring touchdowns and having fun and things of that sort. So I'm still that. And, but at the end of the day, I really want to win this game for sure.
Nice moment. It's all in his hands. Probably deserves a contract extension. He is the number one guy here, no doubt about it. And you know what? He wasn't having a great game against the Chargers, if you look at it.
No.
Not really. But then, when it was needed the most, he was there. He only had 4 catches, 56 yards. Not exactly a great day. But he was there when you needed him, Al. Didn't drop that ball. Got out of a tackle to gain another 20 yards. Huge, huge, huge play. You know, I used to laugh when people would talk about Tebow and say, well, you got to play 60 minutes of football. No, you don't.
No, you don't. Not in this league. check out the Steelers' last game.
Nobody plays 60 great minutes of football. What you need to do is play great when it matters the most.
Right. Make the biggest play in the biggest moment.
Right. If you want to get out to like a 30-point lead, then you don't even have to play in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's what the Steelers did to Carolina. Steelers played terrible against Jacksonville and then played really well in the final 2.5 minutes and won the game. You don't have to play great for 60 minutes. And the whole concept, like, we got to come out fast, I don't know. Who cares? How many games at halftime are like 13-7? And they finish up like 28-31 or something like that. Happens all the time.
All the scoring that is normal for the, you know, beginning of the season with these lopsided scores or these big numbers used to happen at the beginning of the season. What we're seeing now is these big numbers coming at the end of the season, which is crazy because guys should be battling injuries and teams should have scouted the other team and understand their frequency of plays and the types of plays that they like and how to defend them. Instead, it's going the other way. And you're seeing these big numbers and you're seeing guys getting these, you know, these basically there are trend breakers, right? And I think that because every team has put out enough trends about how they call offensive football, there are now trend breakers that are starting to show themselves in games and DMAC. That's exciting for us because all of those things that we've shown as basic now get to be moved into double moves. And when that happens, we're going to look even better on offense.
All right, Spencer, hang on. Room for you at 303-713-1043. Vaughn on what he does for Thanksgiving, and he's thankful for something that would surprise you. Also, this Phil Tiger thing has taken a interesting twist today. You'll hear that coming up.
It's The Drive with Big Alan D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Zion Williamson from Duke. He's going to be the first player drafted, not just for his skill set, D-Mac. He plays the game the right way.
I'm sorry, who's that?
The kid from Duke, number one.
Oh, Zion Williamson. He plays the right way.
He
sure
just
does.
Plays. You know, there's
yeah,
something that's
unbelievable.
Not just the talent, but his real energy, how he approaches the game is electrifying. You know, like when he does something big, he knows it's big. He's pumped up about it. You know, he's not nonchalant. I hate athletes that are great athletes that are nonchalant about their efforts. I need you to be excited because it gets everybody else excited and everybody else jacked up. That's what I love. And I think that's what Case Keenum did last time we saw him play for the Denver Broncos. He played with an excitement and a passion that everybody can see. It's just part of being a leader. That's what leaders do. You inspire.
Speaking of leaders, here's Vaughn about Thanksgiving. Vaughn? Vaughn? Oh, come on, machine. My machine. Oh, it's not frozen. What is going on here today? Number one, Vaughn. Thank you, Brian.
Thanksgiving, I mean, I like to eat smoked turkey. Fried turkey's always good. And I just like spending time with my family and my teammates and my friends. I've already told the guys this, but I might as well tell you guys this. I'm appreciative for the media. I'm grateful for the guys that we have here. Appreciate you guys. You guys do an excellent job, and I appreciate you. I'm so grateful for everybody. Troy, everybody. Nikki, everybody. I'm sure. I'm appreciative for everybody. Thank you.
I was not there today. It would have been so nice for Monday.
Right.
Shout me out by name. D-Mac. That would have been special. Sorry, I was not there. I was getting a speeding ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting a speeding ticket. Vaughn loves Troy.
Troy's a good guy, man.
Ah, it's the best.
Troy's fair.
There's something with like Vaughn and Troy, though, specifically. I don't know why or what, but there's something there.
I felt so bad for Troy last week when he had to break the story about CU.
Oh, why? It was a great story.
Because, you know, I know how much he loves the University of Colorado.
I talked to him about it. Didn't bother him a second.
Really?
don't feel sorry for him.
Okay, cool.
He was
all
fine.
All right, because I'm like, man.
He was right. He nailed it.
Didn't mean a bunch of people didn't get their panties in a wad over it.
You ain't kidding.
That's sexy. Deal. He got the story. He crushed it.
He did crush it. And somebody asked me, do I feel bad for Mike McIntyre? I'm like, you know what? Mike McIntyre is not going to give away that $10+ million that the university guaranteed him.
Yeah, you know what's funny?
I'm not going to.
You realize point three is $300,000.
Right.
Because you just did it. You said 10 plus something.
10 plus
it's
million.
Point three. It's $300,000.
Right. $10,300,000. Let's put some respect on that. My bad.
Yeah.
Let's put some respect on that.
Don't take away the $300,000.
$10,300,000 is still going to be paid to Mike McIntyre.
Show some respect.
Thank you, Reverend.
I mean, where do I get that job? That I get hired, and now you're going to pay me $10.3 million to go away.
I'll tell you where you get that.
Sign? Where?
Up at CU.
There you go. CU must win. There's 14 people in the stands because it's a little snowy and the game is early. So Ralphie isn't going to run today because Buffaloes don't really go into the battle fed first because their handlers can't hit them. Keep them. And now you're fired.
That's so bad. That's so bad. Don't do that.
Shoulder to shoulder, we will see ya. Mike McIntyre, $10.3 million. Yeah, feel bad for him. You got the Tiger audio there, Big Sexy. This is great if you haven't heard it. Are you ready for this? This is a conversation we wish we could all have on the golf course. Go ahead, Big Sexy.
The challenges are coming directly out of our pockets, okay? And I feel like the first hole is a great hole for me. I believe, in fact, I'm willing to risk $100,000 that says I birdie the first hole. So that's how good I feel heading into this match. You don't have to take it. You don't have to take it at all. But I'm going to throw that out there.
Hold on. So you think you can make birdie on the first hole?
I know I'm going to make birdie on the first hole.
Double it.
Did you see how I baited him like that? Yes. 200 to the first hole.
All right, just water down the left. He likes to lose his golf ball to the left. It's a little flare out that he hits.
See, here's what you're missing.
See, these are
I'm going to hit a 2-iron.
He hasn't really thought
in
about
the fairway, and I'm a great short iron player. In fact, one of the best.
Sometimes does. It's a little right, and it's hot. It'll be up against that tree, and he's blocked out. And so he can't spin the ball coming into that flag. Yeah.
And that's how I was able to bait you.
Golf porn. That is awesome. Straight up golf porn.
How many shots have those guys made in the clutch? How many big moments?
Too many to count. They're both unbelievable.
Delivered for us in our sporting moments.
They're the best.
How many Father's Day's weekend have we sat there in awe just watching those two?
Yeah, because it's Phil's birthday. Everybody always sings happy birthday to him.
And you know what's great, man? You know, I think, you know, the one thing about the U.S. Open, it's the U.S. Open, right? Father's Day weekend,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
The only reason that I know that that tournament is in June is because of you.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you say that you talk to your dad every Father's Day as you guys are watching that tournament.
Usually on the back nine, yeah.
I'm like, that is just so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Your dad's a huge golf fan?
Yeah, big enough. He can't stand Tiger.
Because of what? The infidelity?
No.
Before that, he didn't like the showmanship.
Kind of. Like, he just was never really into Tiger Woods.
He doesn't like greatness. He doesn't like greatness.
Maybe. I'm not saying he loved Phil.
Wait a minute. Does he like... This is going to answer everything for me. Does he like the biggest trash talker in the history of the NBA and Larry Bird?
Of course.
Duh. Why? Why? Why?
Oh, he just loves Larry Bird.
Why? Why?
He's a Celtics fan. Grew up in Boston.
Well, you say you don't like the braggadocious...
It's not his favorite player, though. His favorite Celtics player of all time is Bill Russell. It's not even close. Because he was a younger guy when Bill Russell was... First of all, my dad was in San Francisco when Bill Russell played for the University of San Francisco and won two national championships. And then he moved to Boston, and Russell ended up with the Celtics. And Russell has, what, 10, 11 championships? My dad is the biggest Bill Russell fan of all time.
My guy, without question, is Kevin McHale.
Love McHale.
That's my guy, man. That's Kevin McHale, growing up, man, was the inventor of the pivot pump fake. And it just caught on. And Hakeem Olajuwon eventually developed his pivot so good, they called it the Dream Shake. And everybody started to travel to Houston to learn how to do the dream. All the young guys go visit Hakeem Olajuwon.
So wait, would you root for, Lakers or Celtics?
Huh?
Lakers and Celtics in the 80s. Who would you root for?
Oh, I was going with Kevin McHale, dog.
You were a Celtics fan.
Man, I like Kevin McHale, man.
That is so weird because...
By the way, my coach was a top five pick for the Boston Celtics as well. My high school basketball
coach.
That's
cool. But you realize, when we were kids, though... They beat the Rockets twice to win the NBA championship.
That had no bearing.
You didn't care,
on me.
Huh?
No, because I mean, when I was younger, I did care because I was a Rockets fan. I wasn't a basketball player. I became a basketball player. Once I became a basketball player, then I had to find somebody to emulate. Like I watched as a football player. I watched Joe Klecko. Like, that was my guy, Joe Klecko, because I played nose tackle in high school, so I needed to see who was the greatest nose tackle. So I watched Joe Klecko, and I tried to tailor my game after him, the hitting, the spinning, you know, the arm up in the air and the swim move. And I was a Joe Klecko fan. And then on the basketball side, I was a power forward in high school, and then I was a Kevin McHale fan. I love the up fake. I love the pivot. I love all of those things. And then Hakeem Olajuwon loved it so good, it became known as the Dream Shake. And now, you know, it was great. But when you see guys like Kevin Garnett, like, remember now, Kevin Garnett, if you didn't have a chance to see Kevin McHale play when he was younger, if you had a chance to see Kevin Garnett, then that's what Kevin McHale was, because Kevin McHale taught Kevin Garnett low post moves. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's great.
Just a little basketball.
Oh, that was time, man. Please, that was so,
I know, man.
The days are great.
Guy.
The NBA is great now, though, too. There's, well, it there's is awesome great,
but I mean, but the low post play is, I mean, it's lacking. We don't have low post play anymore.
It's non-existent.
Right. I mean, that art is gone. And the greatest, the most underrated player in the history of the NBA is still Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Still the most underrated player.
Nuggets play Minnesota tonight. Hopefully they'll bounce back. Nuggets feel like kind of ordinary now, don't they? It felt special, and yeah. You know what, though?
You start 9-1, you start thinking you're going to go, you know, you're going to win 81 games.
I know. We got a great college game going on right now, by the way. Number one, Duke, 87. Number three, Gonzaga. Paul Klee's going nuts. 89. So 89. 87. We'll update you right after this Denver snapshot.